Turn up off low music up.
Just Blaze, man. You owe me.
Cheer. Yeah. Welcome to the Empire State. Home of the World Trade. Birthplace of Michael Jordan.
And home welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where today we have one of Brooklyn's finest, one of our very own, a 2013 alum of the FDU Knights, Mr. Kenu Rochford, back at FDU. Welcome, Kenu.
Thank you for having me, Coach G.
Oh, baby, it's good to hear your voice.
Kenu,
I tell you one thing, man. This is the one thing I'll never forget about you. We'll jump right into it, and then we'll talk about your growing up days. Is the night of the award, the night award night, where Mr. Langford ran it, and you won. I think you won like every award, and you were the night of the year. And I just remember everybody in the audience when your name was announced went crazy. And then they wanted you to say a speech, but I hopefully you remember this. They didn't let anybody that won an award speak, but everybody wanted you to speak. And that night I realized what kind of a person you were, how you were looked up to on that campus and revered by your fellow student athletes. Do you remember that night?
Yes, sir. I remember it vivid, too. Yes, sir. I definitely do.
And guess what? We still love you, and the reason why you're back on the show is we want to sell people like you. And once a month, we're going to bring back alums that gave their blood, their sweat, and their tears to Fairleigh Dickinson University, and you certainly did that. Tell me, just looking back on your time, and I know there were some ups and there were some downs like any other student-athlete, but tell me about some of the good times, the things that still stay with you as a professional player and as a young grown man. What did FDU do for you, Kenu?
FDU for me was like a second home as far as just everything. Like I was always cool with, like I said, I was cool with everybody, but it's just like,
right.
And for me, it was like I realized for like the younger freshmen and everybody else, it's still uncomfortable because you're not home. So it was just like, for me, tell everybody just to feel relaxed. Like, you know, usually first day enrollment, you have the barbecue.
Right.
And I always attend those events because it's like school spirit, but it's just like,
yes,
you know, everybody's trying to get one goal, and that's to graduate to get a degree. So we all working for one goal, whether it's sports or not. So, you know, just want everybody to kind of be on the same page.
Amen.
That was my goal.
And your goal that you achieved was not easy. Now, I got to figure this out, man. You were a baller at James Madison High School in Brooklyn, and you were a double-double guy. But why were you not found early, Key? I mean, it sounded like you didn't have a scholarship. I did a little research on you. It said you might have had some offers, but you didn't have anything firm, and then you wound up going to Globe for junior college. Why earlier didn't people realize the talent that you had, and why were you not recruited higher at your young age of 17, 18, when you were getting out of James Madison?
Well, yeah, to be honest, well, my brothers, I actually transferred there because of my triplet brother, Cairo. But, you know, he was actually able to help me first, like, actually get to junior college. So I wasn't really playing basketball around the time, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had joined the team at the second half of the season. So
yeah.
That was one of the major reasons. But I wasn't really too firm in, like, the way basketball was ran around in times. So I was just trying
gotcha.
To just, like, I was just trying to find my
You're trying to find myself. Your way. And you did find your way in Region 15. You were the player of the year as a sophomore, you know, at the Globe Institute of Technology. And then just tell me how you were recruited to Fairleigh Dickinson. Was it Greg Vitrone? Was he an assistant there and recruited you? How did you actually get to Fairleigh Dickinson University from Globe?
Well, yeah, I had spoke to Greg Vitrone.
Yeah,
at the time he's the head coach, and I have a real close friend of mine, Eves Jules. He was going there.
Oh, Eves, yeah.
He was just speaking to me, and you know, Coach. I guess Coach Vitrone, me and him was kind of on the same page in the sense of I wanted to play.
Right.
And I know I would have to work coming from junior college, but
sure.
I wanted to play. It was close. It was close to home. My mom wasn't too far, so
yes,
I felt like, you know, just being like a diamond out of dirt in New York. So you got to, I felt like staying with it, not too far, but also just remembering the struggle of what my goal was.
And you reached your goal in becoming a Division I basketball player. And your stats, if you look back, you know, are just very the stats that a coach wants. You know, your first year, you average like 9 and 7, and then you blow up your second year and you go to 15 and 9. So you were just a worker, a consistent producer. Describe for people that haven't seen you play or didn't see you play at Fairleigh Dickinson, what kind of game, who would you compare your game to at the professional level?
I mean, well, at the professional level, I would probably have to say Zach Randolph, like a Zach Randolph.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. My boy, R.I.P. the late, great Eric Strickland.
Yep.
Finish your breakfast, Strick is what I'm known for. Baby Strick in New York. But,
Now that's a legend right there. Most people don't know Baby Strick. So, that's your guy?
Yes, sir. That's an honor. It's like, so they call me Baby Strick, which is
Now, I gotta share some knowledge with you. I coached Keanu in the professional basketball in the IBL. I coached the Cincinnati Stuff. And Baby Strick was either on, I should know the team he was on, but Kenny, this guy played hard. He laid it all out. His reputation in the profession, not the NBA, but in the in professional, that subculture, man, he was that's a lot of respect if they were comparing you to Baby Strick, man. How is he? Where is he at? What's he doing now, Keanu?
You know, Baby Strick had passed away. He had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the late great Strick,
I'm sorry.
Always trying to honor him. But,
amen. How long ago did he pass?
He's going on almost 10 years now.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is that. Yeah, now he was. No, that was a man right there. And you're a man, and I know behind every man there's a woman. And Coach Vitrone talked about your mom and how supportive she was of you finishing and getting your degree and becoming who you are today. Tell me a little bit about your mom.
Yeah, my mom, Eden Rochford, and my aunt, Melinda Rochford, sisters. She just pushes me. She was a correction officer. She did 20 years on Rikers Island, so she always pushed me with the hardest method, but.
Yeah.
Always told me enjoy everything because, you know, it's not for granted. Freedom going outside, everything, it could be all taken away from you from making an unthinking, more so like I could say, an unsmart decision.
Exactly.
You know, you could, so like I said, you know, just being, just learning that and wanting to finish college was, you know, it was big on my mind, especially just to see her, you know, for her to witness that.
Sure.
So
not only did you finish college, but you became and are a professional basketball player, and I was looking up at your stats, man, and you were chilling dudes in Iceland. 19.1 points, 12 rebounds, 4 dimes. You passed the ball? You were?
I'm like Magic Johnson when it's time to pass the ball.
Oh, stop.
Yes, sir.
I should have coached you. And let's talk about that a little bit. When I interviewed for the job at Fairleigh Dickinson, and most people don't know this, but I interviewed twice. The first time I didn't get it, and Shoes got it, Greg Vitrone, and I'm a longtime dear friend with Shoes. But do you remember my interview when I came in and you were in the locker room with all the guys, or no? Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember. I remember it. Like it was yesterday. You know? Like, you remember, you came in, you introduced yourself.
Yeah.
Well, he's an upscale guy. I'm like, that guy has a... You know, it was like more like a, you know, you kind of feel like, when you go up to your first day of college, you felt like, okay, I'm leaving the house
right.
Someone good, you know?
So right.
You didn't curve, you didn't throw no curveball, you just always kept.
I came right at him, yeah.
And what you expected, and what you expected from them on and off the court, you know? It's just, I guess the responsibility you put on them is to become from young, like, you know, young kids to, like, men.
To men.
At a certain timeline, but also get the goal of basketball to have fun with it. And it shows with the success of the, you know, the championships you brought to the program.
Yeah.
So I would like to congratulate you on that too, Coach.
I appreciate that, Keanu. And you know, I really wanted to coach you because you were, you and all the guys really, but I wanted to coach you because I knew you were a baller and you loved it and you lived it. And like Sid Sanders, man, Sid had a great 2 years. He had a similar 2 years that you had here in that his first year, but he only scored like 4 points his first. But his second year, his senior year, Sid had averaged 19, and we beat Rutgers and we beat Seton Hall. And one of my regrets here is not coaching you, because I just love guys that, you know, just lay it on the line and you shoot it straight, and you are respected. You were respected here. You still are respected at Fairleigh Dickinson. And obviously, today we're on the phone taping our show. I need to get you back on campus, man.
Yeah, I definitely will, Coach G.
You know?
I was just attending to a little kids program I got in my neighborhood, so I'm sorry about that.
No, you're giving back, and you do all the things that our program stands for and Fairleigh Dickinson stands for. And I'm glad that people can just hear your voice and hear your story. Tell me about, and we got a few minutes here, tell me about Keanu at 10 to 12 to 13. What kind of a young, were you always a big, strong baller, or did you become did you grow late? Just tell me about you as a kid, like when you were in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade. What was your deal, man?
Well, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I went to Crown School of Law and Journalism with my brother and sister.
Wow.
And I was, you know, at the time we was like journalist majors, so I used to like to write.
Wow. Okay.
You know, like I was very good at like creating short stories,
right?
Things like that. But the thing that stuck out to me the most, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, was, you know, I would always watch like the transition of someone who work out and the transition of someone who doesn't. Like,
yes.
You know, with basketball, some people always stay accurate, but then you just always realize the upcoming, and it just proves the theory for me. Like my father used to tell me, hard work and dedication beats talent. And
Amen.
You know, at first I used to just be thinking like, you know, at any moment you could do this, but like you said, you put the work in. Like Miss Jen Quirk was one of the real people I learned it. Like six, seven, eight, then my mom always taught me you have to understand what you're doing. If you want to get somewhere in life, of how you do it. Simple regimen of waking up, making sure you eat. Sixth, seventh, eighth grade for me, it was like I was growing, you know? So
right.
My sneakers were extremely, like I was 10, 11, 12. I was wearing my age and my sneaker shoes. So for my mom, that was a big issue. Like,
sure.
Okay, you know? So I'm growing. So it's just like you said, for that, Coach GNN, it's like I'm getting bigger. It's like, okay. And like I said, my game was more so like a big already. So it wasn't, you know, six, seven, eight, everybody was trying to figure out what they wanted to be. But for me, I always liked being a center. Shaq is my favorite player. So it was just trying to understand the concept of basketball, just how to do that within the time of school for me.
And what was your dream to be a college player and then a professional player? Did you have that foresight, or were you not even thinking about it and just trying to do what you were doing in Brooklyn?
Yeah, around the time, Coach, like I always loved basketball.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, Coach, but
right.
I also come to notice that basketball deteriorates a lot. Things around you, if your friendship, because like you said, if you grow up with your friends, you know,
yep.
You grow up everybody playing basketball. When you start to succeed better, it's like it creates it's just like a wall blocking you. You know, Coach, you're expected to be this or that,
yep.
And it's like kind of people look at you like. If you don't graduate, once you graduate college, you don't go overseas, you fail. But in all actuality, you succeed and you beat the odds. You know,
yes.
The average American is not walking around with a degree, but
amen.
It's like you don't understand basketball. You use basketball the same way basketball uses you. You do put your body on the line, but it also provides the education.
Yeah,
and that's what I always understood. Like if I go hard at this, my mom doesn't have to kick not a single dime out of her pocket.
And that's huge, man. That's a credit to you. It's a credit to Jen Quirk and all the people at Fairleigh Dickinson that helped you. Who else helped you get through at Fairleigh Dickinson? You want to drop a few names and drop a few thank yous that maybe should have done on senior
I would
night?
I would definitely like to thank Ms. Sue Jackson, Alan Jackson. They helped me out. Ms. Sue was my tutor, and she thank R.I.P. to the late Al Green, but I learned a lot of Al Green listening to Ms. Sue, so
right.
I had to thank her for that. Swabby, the greatest, I'll probably say, the officer.
Schwa, he's still kicking, baby.
Yeah, that was my guy. I had messed up my third, my foot. He used to drive me around. Oh, man, there's so much people. Al, the chef.
It's a village, man, right? It's just not one person or just not your coach. And no, that's good to hear.
I had to thank Miss Kathy. Miss Kathy Liggett.
Kathy Liggett. She's still rocking. Now she's the associate AD. She's no longer our trainer. She's moved up. Jen is director of compliance. Schwab is still just running the show. But people, like when your name came up, man, it was just people's eyes just, you know, even our producer here, Kenny O'Boyle, was just like, everybody remembers Keanu, man. You have that kind of personality. Where do you see yourself, Keanu? Eventually, you're going to continue to play, but you can't, the ball stops bouncing at some point in time. Are you looking at, like, it sounds like we know each other for real for a long time. We don't, but we're just kindred spirits, man. I know who you are. You know who I am. I can see you doing whatever you want to do. What do you think that will be once the ball stops going up on top of the backboard and you stop rebounding? What do you do with your life?
I feel like, you know what I mean, Coach? Yeah, I had narrowed this down. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot.
Okay, good.
I feel like, you know, I would like to do something in the sense of giving back.
Yep.
I would like to coach, but I feel like for me, my purpose in life right now is to be a life coach. I want to kind of do like what Chris Herren did,
yes.
But in the sense of, I call it like the three-step process, you know, because I've been through times in my life where I was able to see it from all aspects, you know.
Gotcha.
Like, I've seen it from the perspective of my mom of what guys do when it's, you take it for granted. I've seen it on the athlete level, you know?
Yep.
And I've also seen it at the level of not playing basketball. And it's like, everybody just thinks, oh, you have to be good at your sport. And
right.
Like, to me, I feel like at the time, Coach, when you're in high school and you're playing a sport, you need to really know, like, what's the in and outs, the percentages. Like, you know, everybody just thinks, oh, you're going to make it. But, like, the reality of it is a lot of athletes in college, you know, don't need to know what happens if you don't make it.
Like, that's right.
You still apply the same work ethic, and it works in society, you know? And everybody, like I said, from my class, Coach G, I'm the only person still playing basketball. I speak to Sid every day, you know? And it's like, Sid is being a great father, but you still apply the same method. You wake up early, you know, you don't let nobody deteriorate your goals. But it's just like, with me, Coach G, I feel like everybody gets to college, Coach G, and it's like, there's so many questions you want to ask someone, but at the point, you don't know who succeeded or, like you said, even with you, Coach G, coaching, it's an ongoing thing. Nobody can sit there and just say, oh, I'm going to coach here 20 years. Every day you have to get on your grind. So
it's like, amen.
You know, it always shows us you have to always be on your toes. So for me, I just feel like going around, I would like to just travel around to all schools if I can and just inspire the kids.
The first school that I want you to travel to is Fairleigh Dickinson University and meet my players, because we have really, really good kids that play really hard, that check the boxes. We've won championships. We've won the highest GPA in our conference. But they need to hear, you know, from the old heads. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you are to them. And you've done what they want to do. You know, you've graduated. You have a degree. You have a professional contract. And I have guys that have those same goals and aspirations. So I need you to come back. You got to promise me that on the air, okay?
Yeah, I definitely promise you that. You know, I kind of felt like I gave back because I just played a TBT with Mike Holloway.
So I know. How was that?
All right, Mike's a good dude, boy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, myself when I was young, man, he's a good guy. He's all for the team, man. He has nothing but good things to say about you, Coach.
I know you played in that TBT. Now, you could have won how many millions of dollars? Now, that's a big money tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, like $2 million, actually.
God. Is it just the winner takes all, or did you guys make any money on the deal?
Like I said, it's winners take all, but
yeah.
It's just the experience we had this year. That's to play for the Jimmy V Foundation.
No, it raised so much money, and you play with Mike. That is very, very cool. And Mike's going to play.
He's actually in the Ukraine as we speak.
Exactly.
He left yesterday. Yeah, I spoke to him before he left. So
he texted me and then tweeted it out. And Mike did he went to two NCAA tournaments and scored 1,500 points and graduated and did all those things. And I just love the brotherhood that we're going to develop. And I need you back here to help that whole process, man. I need Greg Vitrone's players back. I need Tom Green's players back to make this family whole. And I I really appreciate you being on the show today. And I want you to come over from Brooklyn before you take off overseas and be a life coach for me and for all of our student athletes here at Fairleigh Dickinson.
I would love to do that, Coach G, man. Hopefully, you know me, like I said, the life goal now for Fairleigh Dickinson, hopefully, God willing, before it's all said and done, I get to get my name in that Hall of Fame, because I'm not going to lie, FDU was a, it stains my heart. You know, I actually have the nice tag on my leg, so...
I know, man. You bleed it. You bleed it. And you did it. And we appreciate it, bro.
I appreciate y'all for all
the I'll be talking to you soon, man. And just give everyone in Brooklyn, your mom, and everybody a big hug. And I appreciate you being on the show. You're the best, Keanu.
Thank you, Coach. You for having me. Give this man, Kathy, a nice hug for your boy.
I will do that. And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show. After this.
Hi, this is Chris Carino, the radio voice of the Brooklyn Nets, and you're listening to 89.1 WFDU, the voice of Fairleigh Dickinson University.